Gina.
Hello.
Yeah, all good. How are you?
I'm so excited for this chat.
Good afternoon. Baby Zan here reporting for another episode of XL Radio. This week's episode is an incredible takeover by Ivan Masik, the mastermind behind Ex Ponto. Ivan really blew my breath away with this episode. With the context to all the music he brought, as well as conversations about his life. Therefore, I really don't feel much need to add my own voice in here, so I'm going to let Ivan do almost all of the talking, as this one is all on him. As always, all the songs will be listed in the show notes, alongside where you can find Ivan's work.
Vratiti prostranstvima narušenog detinjstva. Thank you.
My name's Ivan. I migrated over from former Yugoslavia in 1987. So I was born in Bosnia to Serbian parents, and we decided to move to Australia due to the, I guess, the war was sort of coming in the former Yugoslavia in the late 80s, which there was a growing nationalism right throughout the whole country. So my parents made the wise choice to get out of there. My dad's sister and her family had been living in Melbourne since the 70s. So it seemed like a logical place to come at a time when it was relatively easy to get into the country. So I went straight into primary school at the age of 6 without knowing a word of English, and just sort of picked it up as young kids do, and I guess became an Aussie overnight. I guess the link to my roots has always been quite strong. I still do have lots of family all over Serbia and Bosnia, and yeah, I try to go back as regularly as I can. In 2004 was the first time that I went back to the Balkans since migrating, and that was a point when I decided to actually learn the Serbian Cyrillic and go a little bit deeper into the culture and the language and the music. I was only 6 years old when we moved over, so I had a very basic grounding in the language, but decided to kind of learn more and reconnect with my roots and my ancestors. 2016 was kind of a big one, where sort of lots of things in my life kind of changed, so I just decided to go back for a few months and stayed in Belgrade and kind of just lived there, and was spending a lot of time at a record store called Yugo Vinyl. Big shout out to Borka in Belgrade, and discovered, yeah, just quite a lot of music from the former Yugoslavia that I was never aware of. And actually a trigger for that was probably all back in 2012 on a show called Noise in My Head that my friend Michael Kusik used to run on Triple R. He had a guest DJ from Belgrade called DJ Berka. Slobodan, who's now become one of my good friends. So that was kind of a shift in my musical thinking about Balky music, because he just played some absolutely otherworldly music that I'd never heard before, and it was all from the former Yugoslavia. So I started playing music when I was about 17 or 18, just after high school. I grew up in the 90s, sort of only really listening to electronic music and the rave music that was coming out of Melbourne. And sort of going to parties and listening to Kate Bathgate on Triple R, and getting turned on to the likes of Willie Tell and Richie Rich and those kind of DJs, Rude Boy, as well as like the acid artists in Melbourne, Honey Smack and Boytech. And it was just a really special kind of time in Melbourne, yeah, that I got to experience at quite a young age, I guess, when parties were unlicensed. There was no alcohol. It was just all about the music, and yeah, I would spend my weekends dancing in front of a speaker, and then playing tennis during the week and going to school. So that was my life in the 90s. And the track that I chose here, the two tracks, the first one is from an album called In the Moon Cage, which kind of combines Serbian folk lullabies with electronic music, and Vreksi Lorsevi, which is the alias of a composer from northern Serbia called Mitar Subotic, is quite exceptional. I feel like the legacy that he's left behind, and there's still a lot to come out from unreleased music that he's left behind, is really important in terms of Balkan music. He was just pushing the boundaries at the time, and his music still just sounds so, I guess, contemporary. That particular song I called my mum yesterday and played her this song. I was like, did you sing me this particular lullaby as a baby? And she didn't seem to recall this particular one, but it was definitely songs similar to this that I feel connected to, that I'm sure like mum would have sang to me as a baby. So thank you. this was kind of, the Narodna Muzika, the sort of contemporary folk music that I mentioned earlier that I would hear during the 90s.
Noćas mi srce pati, noćas me duša boli, teško je kad se voli, kad ostane sam. već odavno došla, uzalud čekam, uzalud se nadam. O majko moja, toliko ga volim, samo je on u srcu moj. O majko moja, toliko ga volim, samo je on.
The two tracks that I've chosen, the Navali Shardplanina, is a song about three shepherds being trapped in the Shard Mountains, which stretch from Kosovo to Macedonia. And the shepherds are singing to the mountains to let them go, as they have a brother, sister, and a mother who'll mourn them. And the instrumentation is kind of pretty classic, sort of piano, accordion, double bass, and vocals, which is very common in that style. And the second track, Shtachim Zhivot, is just questioning life, and just kind of a song of love, loss, and loneliness. And it's had prominent use of tamburica, which is also common in Serbia, particularly in the north around Vojvodina. And a lot of musicians in Serbia are kind of start out on the piano accordion. And yeah, I guess it is the main instrument, along with, you know, more traditionally the frula, the recorder, and the gusla. And that kind of leads us to that last track in that block, which is a recording that I did in 2004 with my cousin Milan, playing a song called Djurdjadan on the piano accordion. And Djurdjadan is one of the many family saint days, which is called the Slava, which is, I guess, a Christian Orthodox tradition, but also kind of an important ethnic marker of the Serbian identity. And it's kind of regarded as the most significant and solemn feast day by the Serbian diaspora kind of worldwide. It just involves baking bread, and having it blessed, and then having all your friends come around and for a feast, and I guess celebration of our identity. Depending on how much dakia is drank, it's quite strong. It's sort of often in the sort of 40% to 50% alcohol range. It often leads to, I guess, the kind of polyphonic romanske pjesme, and then potentially the breaking of glasses.
We're now going to dive into some of Ivan's own work as Ex Ponto. The song is also called Ex Ponto.
A šta se čovjeku ne može?
Ex Ponto is Latin for Black Sea or of the sea. And I guess I relate that to, I guess, the deep sea of mind. As the Black Sea, I only discovered after I'd kind of sort of, I like the sound of this name, and I kind of like the idea of the sea being this kind of metaphor for, you know, the deep sea of mind. But then I kind of did a bit of reading about the Black Sea, and it's, yeah, kind of discovered that it's kind of flowing in both directions simultaneously. There's this kind of denser, more kind of saline water from the Aegean flows back into the Black Sea underneath the less dense, kind of fresher outflowing water from the Black Sea. So it creates this kind of significant layer of deep water which doesn't drain or mix and therefore is anoxic. So the anoxic layer is responsible for the kind of preservation of kind of ancient shipwrecks which have been found in the Black Sea. So there's this kind of weird connection that I wasn't aware of with this kind of storage of ideas that are just kind of sitting there in both the conscious and the deep sort of unconscious mind, yeah. That was the opening track of my record, and it's called Ex Ponto, which is also the name of my project. And it starts off with a spoken word sample from Ivo Andrić's novel Ex Ponto from 1918. And, yeah, it sort of has a sample that is from our going away party in Bosnia of my dad and my uncle singing, which can be heard at the end of the song. And, yeah, I guess I got attracted to Ivo Andrić's writing and style. I guess his kind of free verse style, which has, I guess, been informing a lot of my creative output. Just there's a kind of intimacy and personal nature of it. Yeah, I guess poetry, yeah, is just that a form that I find really inspiring when it comes to playing music. As I'm not, you know, coming from a classical or trained perspective, I guess I'm more informed by other things, yeah. And I've like kind of drone music for a long time and minimalism and, you know, the works of people like Terry O'Reilly and Steve Reich. And I guess now I've started learning the gusla, which is a traditional drone instrument from Serbia, which I picked up last year. So I've been kind of, yeah, teaching myself the gusla by watching videos of my uncle that I filmed in 2016. Yeah, I guess I'm just really attracted to the simplicity of the instrument.
Speaking of, we now get the pleasure of hearing a track from Ivan as Ex Ponto, Karst Plateau. This is Ivan's first attempt at recording the gusla. The title translates to a mountainous region characterized by underground drainage systems with sinkholes and caves.
Thank you. da. Šafranu.
Šta?
Eno vidiš, ja kreće. I sad će ti, ako ubaci veći tonar, ona ga ne mora uvodi poješiti. Nego mora van izdjeti, pa omotati i onda poješiti. Krugiti. Evo pogledaj, eno jedna sad kreće, dalje. U potrebu. Samo njoj grota uvijek.
So, yeah, Petko is my dad's brother who migrated from Bosnia to Serbia in the 80s, I believe. He fell in love with a Serbian woman and off he went. He's been living in a village called Prekodolce in southern Serbia near Vladičin Han. So I spent a bit of time there in 2016, and he basically turned me onto the gusle, which is the drone instrument. So this is a recording that I actually just did on my phone at the time, but yeah, it's him singing along to the gusle, performing these kind of epic songs that have been practiced for centuries, and sort of really form a sort of form of historical memory and expression of that Serbian identity. The songs are kind of predominantly sort of mythical, or about mythical and historical heroes, and sort of less commonly ballads and humorous songs. But there's just a depth to the voice with the gusle that I just find, yeah, really moving.
Thank you.
But this particular track that I've chosen is from a film called Black Cat, White Cat by Emir Kusturica. And it's also his band, the No Smoking Orchestra, that performs this. And it's, yeah, very much a Roma song. There's over 150,000 Romani people in Serbia whose, I guess, music and culture Kusturica has been celebrating through his films for a long time.
Yegde tarin Şudro brşim deva Pale Roma lando bir topena.
And this particular song is a kind of song that where you just want to sit around with your friends telling tales and smashing glasses while drinking rakia. And every time I hear it, I get quite emotional. Yeah, kind of want to be around my friends, which is, you know, particularly right now when I can't see a lot of them. It's quite difficult, but yeah, really beautiful song. Is Goran Bregović Mesečina, and that's one that I guess even during the 90s, it's on the soundtrack to Emir Kusturica's film Underground, and Mesečina means moonlight. And it's a very well-known song. It's probably his most popular tune, but it's one that I spent a lot of time singing with my friends, thinking about our friends and family back home who are going through the horrors of war, not having the freedom to live their lives that we had, and it's kind of a sad tale of the sort of these kind of uncertain times. However, the song kind of manages to bridge these kinds of extremes of euphoria and melancholy, and it really is sort of music made for drinking, both in celebration and to sort of drown sorrows. And I've got a quote here from Bregović. He said his contract says that he must have alcohol on stage, which is Jack Daniels is in his contract. I'm just going to read this quote. He said, "It's a party for me. If you ask me where you would like to go in the evening, it's always on stage with my musicians. If you want to be an important composer in the Balkans, you should write music for alcohol."
nema više meseca. Nema tebe, nema mene. Mesečina, mesečina, joj, 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 sunce sija, sunce sija, joj, 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 sa nebesa zrak probija, niko ne zna, niko ne zna, niko ne zna, niko ne zna, niko ne zna šta to sija.
So the music of the 80s is the kind of stuff I was digging up while I was there in 2016, a lot of the records that I've been collecting, and could have easily spent this whole episode focusing on this because there was so much gold that came out during this period. But the first song by Baby Doll, Mustafa, is a single released in 1981, which is kind of Middle Eastern inspired, which sort of, I guess, links back to 500 years of Ottoman rule in the Balkans. And yeah, I really love the groove and process vocals and kind of experimental noise, guitar that sits low in the mix. And that's something I've always been really interested in, is, you know, kind of shredding guitar, but in the background of a song.
Ay, ay, ay.
This track by Caterina Trebalsacisti translates as "It ought to be cleaned." So it's kind of a satire on communist Yugoslavia, repeating the lines, "You have to work in factories, you have to walk the streets, you have to run in the parks, you have to sleep in beds, and you have to be clean." I actually emailed my friend Slobodan DJ Brica recently. I was like, you know, was there a period in Yugoslavia where everything was harmonious and, you know, like a golden period? And then he was just like, no, there wasn't. I guess the last golden period in Serbia was, you know, 14th century, pre-Ottoman times. Yeah, I guess this kind of angst and melancholy is prominent in a lot of the music.
Ba 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 ba